Okay, so we'll call to order the diversity council on February 11th at what time is it? 5:32 p.m. Could you read the mission statement, please?
We respectfully acknowledge the Diné people upon whose traditional lands we reside. We honor the Diné who have lived, who have been the stewards of interior lands and waters for centuries, the elders who lived here before, the Diné people of today, and future generations to come. We also recognize that Alaskan Native people would traditionally gather here and harvest Native foods.
Thank you. Marnie, could you read the mission statement?
Yeah, the city of Fairbanks recognizes our community as a diverse one. Wide variety of ethnic backgrounds, cultures, beliefs, and orientations recognizes this diversity as an asset, of course, for our community. Establishment of the Fairbanks Diversity Council provides the City Council and Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly with advice, recommendations, of equal opportunity for all members of the public.
Thank you. And can we have a roll call, please? And just so everyone's aware, Jake has joined us as well.
Alani Marnie.
I'm here.
Jake Merritt.
Sorry, my mic wasn't on. Jake Merritt.
I am here.
Mayor Pruse is absent. Richard Basarab. June Rogers?
Here.
Juanita Webb?
Here.
Marsha Ose?
Here.
Dorothy Shockley? Jonathan Bagwell? Wendy Tisland? Karen Blackburn?
Here.
Herb Butler?
Here.
You. We do have a quorum, right?
Yes.
So if you guys would like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Justice for all.
Okay, so next thing is the approval of the agenda. Guys, we'll need a motion in a second. Okay. Do we have a second?
Can I do that?
Second.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
No, you can't.
Sorry.
Your hands are tied.
Marsha, was that you?
Second. Yeah, this is Marsha. I second.
Okay. Any additions or subtractions or anything? Okay, all in favor? Any opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Marsha, are you opposed or you're just a late aye?
She gave a thumbs up.
No, I said aye.
Okay.
Oh, and an aye.
Yeah. Okay, no, we're good. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Aye, aye, aye.
Karen's got her hand up.
Would it be better if I said it like a pirate? Aye.
There you go.
80.
Who has their hand up?
Karen. That was my hand on there, my mouse hand. It tricks people.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, sorry.
It happens a lot. So then we have the approval of the previous minutes from January 14th. Just need a motion and a second.
Motion to take it. Second.
I'm just waiting for someone else to do it.
Oh, I second it.
There they go. Good.
Okay, do we have any citizens' comments?
No.
So, report from the chair. One of the things that I had talked to Danny about a little bit ago was looking at our attendance record again, because we had a few people that... it had been a bit since they attended. So what I would like to do. Right now we have two open spots with a potential third spot. So what I'd like to do, well, I'd like input from the council, but what I would propose is that I can make personal phone calls to each of our members that are struggling with attendance and kind of see where they stand. And then from there, we can make a decision if we need to make any movement. Does anyone else have any other ideas or think that that's okay? Or?
And you already have a list of people to call?
Well, I'm in our agenda packet. Mm-hmm. There's the attendance list.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that deep.
So this is Marcia, and I would say that there are several of us that have made an attempt to be there, whether physically or even when we're traveling or working or wherever we are to attend. And for others that I haven't seen for at least 3 months, I would say they need to reevaluate their commitment to the committee.
Agreed.
That's my personal opinion.
Right. Did I add? Okay, hang on a second. He stuck his hand up first.
I know that Rachel
Krappel.
I tried to get her to re-up on the discretionary fund committee, and her husband was very sick,
yeah,
and they were going to have to probably go outside to get help. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't get her. I don't think she's in town is where I'm trying to go.
No. Right, and so that's actually, we just discussed this a moment ago. So Some of the people that are listed on here was only because she did a search of a year back, but we already know that they're not on our
committee. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry, because I asked the same question. I was like, why are these people? I'm sorry, June, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that this has been discussed many, many times over the last few years about folks that have a continued absentee record for coming to meetings. And I think we just need to prepare a thank you for your time served and just let people know that they're no longer compliant with being here and not having three unexcused. It's not just this committee, it's many times over the years when people are discussing setting up a process and whatnot, we go through that talking about it, that if you have three unexcused absences, that's that. But when it comes right down to thanking people for having been there and telling them to get back with us if and when they're able to, that doesn't happen. And it's not just with this, it's organizations across the board. So I just think we need to bite the bullet and thank people for their service and let them know that they're no longer on the board. Okay. Not the board, but the
Council.
Can you make that bigger? Is it?
Yeah.
Apparently we already have something in place.
That's right. Yeah. And there was lots of fuss and bother about
just the yellow.
Coming up with that.
Just the yellow, yeah.
Well, how's recruitment in this committee? I mean, who does it recruitment?
Anybody and everybody. The last, the mayor brought in a couple. One of them is struggling with attendance. Marcia.
The last big recruitment was when we were at the powwow, and Juanita and I were actively, we had a table, and we were there for 2 or 3 days, I don't remember, it seemed like forever, and we were actively getting people to come over, getting them to fill out paperwork, doing everything we could. Well, that was last July.
Yeah, that's when Herb came back, and then there was two others that never ended up joining, basically.
Yeah, and one of them had work conflict, and the other one had illness.
Right.
So it wasn't like they didn't want to join. They just knew better than to join when they weren't going to be able to follow through.
Right. So if we have a member who misses three consecutive meetings and is unexcused.
So I think there's only one member who falls into that category of three unexcused consecutive absences.
That would be Dorothy.
Correct. There are others who, according to this rule, should be contacted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then
I make a motion that we contact them and ask them what's going on, or we contact them and let them know they've been removed.
Question.
Go ahead, Herb.
It's Herb. The method of contact, would that be email, or should the chair call? Should Danny call? How does this work?
According
to the chair.
Yeah, according to what we have on there, it says the chair. And I don't have any problem doing that.
Okay.
Do we have a vice chair?
I second.
Karen. Okay, he just seconded. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 To clarify, Chair Webb, so typically when a member is removed, my office sends a letter on behalf of the mayor's office. So is that necessary along with your contacting them, or how?
Could I add something to that comment there? Because I think it's entirely appropriate to continue that, because I think that whenever someone is removed, regardless of the reason, they should still be thanked for having served on the...
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that letter is appropriate.
If you're trying, is that what it is? It's a thank you letter?
Right. It's just to inform them, also to thank them.
Yeah, no, that's
but fine. Also thank you, yeah.
Okay.
If it's all in one...
Okay, we'll ball. Do.
Yeah.
I just think we should follow the policy that's been in place. Why recreate
this
the wheel?
Herb, I have a question.
Yes.
Is the mayor exempt from this rule?
The short / easy answer to that question, Mr. Butler, is that the mayor is the chair of this council by the Fairbanks General Code. So he is a member mentioned specifically in the Fairbanks General Code. However, he can delegate the chair position to someone on the council, which he has done. Whether or not that exempts him from the rule, I'm not really sure about that. But I would say probably... yes, that he is exempt from the rule because he's specifically called out in the code as a member. I'm not really sure how to answer that.
I would ask then that we invite him on a regular basis to come attend and speak with us.
I can do that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so one other thing, just as a, I don't...
I have my hand up related to this.
Oh, sorry.
Herb just said.
Go ahead.
I'm glad Herb brought this up, because I have wondered, like, why our mayor hasn't at least popped in every 2 or 3 months just to make a show of presence. And so... thank you, Herb, for asking that question, because it's been in my mind, and I agree that it'd be nice to just invite him, like once every, 3 or 4 months, and to give him an update on what we're doing with his body there, even if he just stays for a few minutes.
Okay. Any other input? Okay, so another thing I wanted to just mention, we went, when COVID happened, we went to Zoom, and we're still kind of a hybrid of that. What do you guys think about trying to make it as much as possible in person?
I agree that in person is the best way of all Zoom is troublesome. I've been a member of other committees, and Zoom is like I said, troublesome. I think in person is the best solution for all of us to follow.
Aaron?
I agree with the in person unless you're sick or out of town for the most part.
Agreed. Marcia?
I agree with Herb and Karen. As you know, I travel quite a bit for my work, but I don't miss my meetings because I'm traveling, whether I'm traveling or whether I'm, wherever, if I'm in town, if I'm not sick, then I'll be there. If I'm traveling, I'll be there. But I agree.
Okay. And you're on board too?
Yes, I fully agree.
I already know how you feel. In person, correct?
He fully agrees too.
I'd rather look at your beautiful face.
You get your eyes fixed. Okay, so let's, and again, Marcia.
Ditto, Lonnie, ditto.
I'm not a politician.
Do we need to put that in the, is that something that we need to change the rules or anything? Or?
Well, I think we should wait till we have other folks here to, and get their input, like Jonathan, and I can't never remember that one gentleman's name.
Richard.
The attorney dude.
Richard.
Yeah, him and the blonde lady.
Wendy?
Oh, Wendy Tinsdale.
Yeah, Miss Tinsdale, yeah. So I would like for their feedback to be recorded.
Okay, well, and maybe what I could do too when I'm making phone calls is I can give them a call as well on that.
Yeah, but that would be nice.
Okay, and then I just have one more item for my report. We had talked at our last meeting about maybe getting involved. Well, we had a presentation about America's 250. Because of the recent, I'm trying to be politically correct here. Because of the recent election, there was a executive order signed by President Trump, and basically the America 250 programming is on hold until we get clarification on the president's priorities and better understanding of his executive order. So if anybody wants to read that, I do have a copy of it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So just, it's on hold. Even there's potential maybe that we may support it in a different format, but the actual program as it was originally put out is on hold. Any questions, comments? Yes, Marcia.
I have to say that I'm very grateful that it's on hold. Because as you know, I don't agree with the rollout of a lot of the stuff they were talking about. And so I find as a diversity council, my interpretation of the job is that we ensure that diversity is inclusive, not exclusive. And so I'm grateful that it's on hold because that allows me the opportunity to talk to the lady that's in charge over at the
Adia
Morrison Center. What's her name?
Adia.
Adia. It gives me a chance to meet with Adia, share my concerns. And so I look at this as providential. Do I want it to go and be successful and be something that we can be proud of in Fairbanks? Absolutely. Do I look at this as a pause? That's a good thing? Absolutely. That's my comment.
Okay.
I'll talk about this more at the end.
Okay. Any other? Okay, going into unfinished business. Human library update. Did you do anything with that, Marcia?
Well, I saw Lonnie sitting on Mike's couch, and all my reports and everything are done, and my grant requests are done. And so I think it would be good for you and I and Lonnie to set up a meeting to flesh out dates.
Okay.
And I'm open to do that this week and next week.
Marcia, I'll be back on the 24th. I'm leaving Friday for 10 days. So when I get back, I'll reach out to you and we'll get that going, okay?
Absolutely. That sounds really good for me. How about you, Juanita?
Sounds good.
Perfect. The only day I'm not available is the 3rd and 4th Wednesdays from noon to 2, because I'm at FCC at that time. Other than that, I'm pretty open.
Is your schedule pretty open?
Wednesday afternoons, I volunteer.
So that's from 12:30 to 4. Other than that, I'm pretty much open.
Okay.
So Wednesdays, let's just not look at a Wednesday. Look at any other day but a Wednesday. Fridays are really good for me.
Okay. Oh, me also.
Just let me know.
I don't schedule anything on Fridays.
Okay. Just let us know what would be a good. Okay. Karen and I did not get together. But I do have movement in it, and I just found this out today, Karen. That's why I didn't let you know. Have not had very good communication with Pioneer Park. Talked to Explore Fairbanks today. Well, I talked to my boss, Charity. Nothing in writing. But I'm going to try to go to Parks and Rec and see if they will let me use that green space behind our building and then also inside the building. For the event, and I got a soft yes, and I don't mean that any other way other than we have a conference tomorrow, so we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it, but I think it's a go. And Karen, are you okay with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I think with it being the Cultural and Visitor Center, I think that'll help. I mean, that's where the tourists come anyways, and that was part of the people that we wanted to touch with the event. So I think that that's a good venue.
You spoke about with Pioneer Park as if there was a difficulty. What was the difficulty? And it should be pretty straightforward. Because
there hasn't been a lot of communication.
On both sides, are they not getting back to you, or...?
There just hasn't been a lot of communication.
we haven't given them communication?
Yes, we have. I have. And I think there's just a lot of reorganizing going on right now with that whole Parks and Rec and all that. So I started thinking about it more and thought maybe that even, especially first year, that maybe doing it at the Morris Thompson Center might make a better idea, especially if they allow us to use that green space back behind. Because we've got the stage, we've got AV stuff in there, we've got the rotunda if we wanted to put dancers in there.
Okay, so you're saying the green space behind where?
The Morris Thompson Center. That whole green area back behind.
Oh, okay, so we're not talking Pioneer Park at that point. Okay, I was going, what? Okay.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
Yeah, I was going to say, all of that stuff should be there. I mean, just to fall right into place. Okay, so we're talking over at Explore Fairbanks rather than Pioneer Park.
Yes.
Okay. That's why visually I was not connecting the dots. Okay.
Any further questions? Okay, Marcia?
Yeah, mine was related to the human library.
Go ahead.
And I'm looking at my calendar. And I'm free the whole day. So I'm just wondering if you and Lonnie are free from like noon to 1, Friday the 28th. And we already have one book, whether he wants to be or not, Michael Sanders. Lonnie was there when I said, you're going to be a book.
So I am good with that. You're talking about February 28th, right?
Friday, yep, at noon.
I think I'm open, but I'll have to check.
Okay, that works.
I'll do that.
And can we meet? We could meet in my office. I have lots of room in my office at City Hall.
This is Herb, a comment.
Go ahead.
About two meetings ago, I think I volunteered to be a book.
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
I was going to ask you about being a book.
Yeah.
Thank you, Herb.
Certainly.
Okay, so we've got that scheduled. Karen, are you good for the 28th at 2 to 3?
Yes, I am good for that day.
Okay, and we'll decide a place. So we've got those basically set up.
Okay.
Okay, and then at this point for the Race Against Racism, there's not any other stuff that's been happening. As more information or more scheduling stuff comes up and open, I'll let you know. And the Diversity Activity Book, I do not have any update right now. She has not sent me any updates on any drawings or anything. So going on to new business, the letter. So if you look in your packet, there is somewhere. So a front and back. And the front is an email, a Facebook post, sorry, that was forwarded to me from Marcia. You guys want to take a moment and read that? And then also then there was a secondary one sent to me from the lady that wrote the, I never found out originally who wrote the original Facebook post. But the lady I contacted, that I'm the one that copied and pasted her forward of the Facebook message, and then she turned around and had got permission from the lady on the back of this paper, second one, to send that to me as well. You guys let me know when you're done going over that.
I'm done.
Thank you.
I'm done as well.
Are you done? Herb, are you done?
Actually, I didn't have any availability to that. I don't see anything, so I'm done.
Oh, it should have been in the packet. Okay, so based on that, So then I apologize for those that are online. You do not have what I have in my, you have half of what I have in my hand.
I can share.
Okay. Danny's going to share it. So the first half is just that original post that you sent me, Marcia. The second half is me trying to, not in this format, obviously would not be in this format, to write a letter of response. Which quite frankly, I'm struggling with. But I think that the biggest things that I approached a confidant of mine to ask questions about responding to something like this, especially because this brings in two different communities. I want us to address the situation, but at the same time, I also know that we weren't there and that there's always two sides to every story. So that's where the second part of that, where it says it sounds like you had a really intense experience, is where that part of that came from. So I guess a couple of things that I have. I really would prefer not to wait another month to come back together to respond to this. And also in this writing that I did, my intent is not only to send it to the people that sent those posts, but also to the school that had flown down to participate, and then also send it to Lathrop and the school, the Borough School District Board as well, so that everyone knows what happened and gets the same information. So from there, I need your guys' input. Sure.
I guess I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
This was sent to me by a friend in attendance, and this was posted to her page. And, you know, I was not there, but the reason I sent this in was because I think this is exactly what our council is meant to address. Do we need to do investigative work? Absolutely. Do we need to fact check? Absolutely. Because I think that's part of our responsibility. It saddens me to... I can't even explain how much it saddens me that if there's even a kernel of truth, that this is what young people are doing in our community to other young people. I'm grateful that you took this and researched it and have done whatever you've done, Juanita. But, you know, whether I'm a council member or I'm a community member, this is something that I saw as something that the Diversity Council should address in the event that this actually took place.
Oh, and I agree. Lonnie.
Well, it's unfortunate this happened. You know, playing sports pretty much all my life and coaching. I believe coaching staffs usually handle this right on the spot. I'm surprised that wasn't dealt with, you know, both the visiting team and the home team, if the home team was aware of it. I try to live my life, love thy neighbor as thyself, and that's why I usually try to handle things. I'm not perfect. But it's sad that that happened in Fairbanks. I'm really sad.
Yeah.
This is Herb.
Go ahead.
Could you tell me what happened? I'm unaware of what happened.
So you're not on a computer screen?
Yeah, I'm on a computer screen. I don't use Facebook.
Right, but Danny shared it on your computer screen. Can you not see that?
On the agenda, all I see is that there's a letter. That's it.
So, Herb, this is Marcia. My friend Gina Kallick Evans, a friend of hers, this happened while her friend was present at this event at Lathrop. While the team was on the court, and as they were leaving, they were verbally assaulted, telling they were told to go back to their own country. They were called names as they left Lathrop, allegedly. This is all allegedly. I'll just say that word. They were told, they were just verbally assaulted for being native in Fairbanks. And
okay.
Whatever happened, the youth from Nunyamut, they didn't respond in kind. They just got on the bus, got in the vehicles, they left. While the non-native youth at Lathrop verbally continued to assault them. I felt when I saw this, I researched a little more, I found the original post, and I felt like this was something that warranted the Diversity Council looking at, and I sent it to Danny to send to Juanita.
I think that was the right move, for sure. A suggestion, though, I think for our council to have somebody to come to our meeting with the facts to explain to us what happened and substantiate the story. Instead of alleged, then we had the facts.
And so that is why that I purposefully gave the name of the individual that posted to Juanita, so Juanita could do research to see if they wanted to talk to us, be present, any of that stuff. I tried to follow all the rules that would allow us to get the truth and not have hearsay and secondhand statements.
Okay, thanks.
I did let the original poster know that that they could testify if they wanted to over Zoom, and that did not happen. But I felt like in the message or the response that is on here that it's more of a general response to saying that we're sorry that you had to deal with this, that we're happy that you're talking to your children and the younger people to make sure that they understand that this should not destroy them. And then goes into the last paragraph talking about crucial for schools and parents to address and promote positive sportsmanship and goes on from there. So is the council?
I might offer this as a suggestion then.
Okay.
I know it is for sure. For example, in UAF sports, is if there's an issue like this, there's a sports director that immediately replies to any contact. That's happened with me before, not on this kind of a case, but on something else. And so I was really happy to see that. And so there's a contact there. So I'm thinking that in this case here, how do we feel about contacting in letter form, if anything, the principal of Lathrop?
My intent was to send the letter to that entity as well so that they know the story and what happened, what came about. And I think between the two posts, the one that Marcia sent to me and then the one that the other parent sent to me, that I believe that it wasn't just all the team, that there was also just regular student body that was doing the same thing.
Yeah, and what I meant by contacting the principal is really an invite to the principal to attend our meeting and have a conversation with us.
Yeah, I support that, Herb.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't hear that it was only I heard that it was also parents that were behaving in this manner.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. what really broke my heart.
Yes.
So just to add to the conversation, I wasn't at the event, the game, but I did have to pick up kiddos after the game. And so I spoke with one of the assistant principals over at Lathrop after, you know, everything kind of transpired, because one of the kiddos that I was picking up, he's not my child, but he is a friend of mine's child, and he was involved in the incident that happened. And so I do know that Lathrop's administration, they have, like, you know, set the kids down, talk to them. Some of those kids that were kind of the initiators and instigators of, you know, the event that happened, they have been, they've been dealt with. Some of them have been suspended from coming to the basketball game. And then but these kids also had evidence of, you know, like it was both sides, you know, like doing these things and kind of going against each other and saying racial slurs. And like both sides, like the parents, like got into it and were cursing and really acting out. So there was video footage of both sides, like just really acting, you know, very immature, very negatively. And I mean, I was shocked because I was like, seriously, we're going to act like this in front of our children? Like, what kind of example are we setting? But yeah, I know that Lathrop's administration has, you know, dealt with the kids who were acting very negatively. And their assistant principal, Clarice Mingo, is actually a close friend of mine. And so we even talked after the fact, because I did share with her, you know, the Facebook post just to make sure she got it. And she was like, yes, I did receive it. We've handled it. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm happy that Lathrop did their due diligence and, you know, what they needed to do as far as take care of the situation. And I know they did apologize to the team as well. But I'm not sure if the team or the people from that village came back and apologized for their actions as well. So,
to her.
Karen, I'm really glad.
Thank you for the report.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you spoke about this, because, I mean, what I know with my work for the last, since 96, whatever that is, 30 years, I guess, we have a lot of mixed race youth from the northern countries, the interior countries, the western countries, southeastern. So I'm really grateful, Karen, that you gave us a report on this, because it did go both ways, what I heard. And so thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Lonnie?
Matt Wilkin is a good friend of mine, and he's the coach at Lathrop there. So if I needed to reach out to him, I would. But it sounds like it got handled.
So then are you suggesting that since they handled it from behind, we...
Well, I could I'm sure Karen knows what she's talking about, mm-hmm. but if you wanted me to get a second opinion or second statement, I can call Matt.
Well, I guess what my question would be, so if we feel like that it was handled, does that mean we're stepping back and not responding? What does that mean to you guys?
Well, I kind of like the idea of Lonnie checking. Mm-hmm. The only reason I brought this to the council is because I felt like it was something that the council should be aware of.
I agree.
And, like, with Karen and Lonnie, I would like to have Lonnie check on it, but I really do feel like this is a diversity council issue.
Yeah, Marsha, I don't think any of us are disagreeing with you on that at all. I guess what I'm just trying to figure out is, what is the point? Do we just step back and not say anything because it's been handled, or do we still make a general statement to say this is still going on in the world?
I would say I want Lonnie to check with us.
I would. I have a suggestion.
Go ahead, Herb.
Yeah, I really think that we need to send the principal a letter and ask him to visit with us. That should do it.
And Latham does have a sports director also. Coach Balash, I think, is the sports director, even though he's like the head football coach, but he's also like the overall sports and activities director.
The fans understand aren't bound by a sports director. This goes higher up to the principal of the school.
I like that idea, Herb, and I like the idea of Lonnie checking in with his friend. I mean, Lonnie doesn't really have to do anything. He's just here to go back and report to the council, but to be able to volunteer to do that work, that I personally, for myself, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see a letter to the principal. I'd like to know what the coach is saying. I'd like to know what Lonnie can find out. I mean, I don't think we need to dig any further, but as a diversity council, I think it gives us information that we need when something like this happens, and helps us understand like what our role is for the city.
Okay, so then Lonnie's gonna check on that, and then would you prefer that I call you Mr. Marnie? Or
no,
okay. Okay, we'll check on that, and then.
I'll call Matt tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I'll call you.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll have him call you.
Do you want Lonnie or Mr. Marnie?
Yeah, Lonnie.
I couldn't hear that.
Lonnie is fine. Okay,
thank you. My dad's still alive.
There you go. Okay, so we're good with that then?
I think. Yes, I'm good with that.
I think perhaps we would take a different perspective as far as how we contact if the school had not, as Karen referred to us, the school had not responded and so on and so forth. I think it would be a whole different discussion.
Oh, agreed.
And so I'm glad to hear that. And the discussion that we can have after the outreach that we're talking about, we can have a very positive discussion. And it's really sad that these things happen, and that they still happen, and that they're going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It's a very, very sad situation that so many people resort to all sorts of name calling. I'm glad that it's being brought to us. I think that's how the council becomes involved in the larger picture of all of these things, is to keep these things in our mind, and as we're seeking to insulate a more supportive community where people are thinking more positively about each other and not having to be reminded all the time to think positively, but that becomes a matter of course. So, Marcia, thank you for bringing this forward.
We have a time frame.
When did this game occur?
The actual game occurred. Do you remember, Marcia, when that, or Karen, when that was?
Last week.
Okay. So February.
I have to say that it breaks my heart that we live in 2025. And our children are still being taught this kind of behavior by adults.
Agreed.
Just, it breaks my heart. And it was not an email that I wanted to send to Danny, but I felt obligated as a council member to do it.
Yeah, no, and I think you chose the right action. I think this is definitely why we're here. So, okay. Thank you for that. And then, Herb, we'll turn the floor over to you now. You wanted to have a discussion about diversity, equity, and inclusion methodology.
Yeah, I brought DEI up in a previous meeting, and this is before President Trump was sworn in and then declared a strict and pervasive opposition to DEI. And of course, the concern I have then is to how far down will this take effect, and will it affect our state, our borough, our city, our schools, et cetera, our military, law enforcement. It's across the board. But as I thought about this, I thought I wanted just to pass on to you my own experiences as an Alaska Native to really bring you on board. I've mentioned it now and then in our meetings, but to no great extent. All right. With Northern Air Cargo, the co-founders and presidents of that company took me right in as a best friend. No problems. With Alyeska Pipeline, I was taken in right away because of my background. And a side benefit because they had to contend with an agreement made on the pipeline agreements to hire a particular percentage of Alaska Natives. And so that was good. But then my next company lost a discrimination suit that I filed against them. And I won the suit, of course. I won. It didn't go to court. It was through EEOC. And I ended up in Prudhoe Bay as the only hourly employee with an employment contract. With MAPCO, and then Williams, the refinery in North Pole, I contend with a strong racist opposition. And I have a particular traditions and beliefs and honor system to where I grow my hair long. And I actually had to cut my hair all off practically to get a job out there, and was hired on as a loader. There was absolutely no belief, you might say, of my resume showing my technical background as an instrument tech. It took 2.5 years to force the administration in that company to finally assign me to the maintenance department as an instrument tech. Because of that, I end up on the diversity council with Williams and expose the refinery to senior management with Williams Companies in Tulsa. And they required every manager from the top down to middle management to attend the one-day heritage, traditions and heritage seminar in Anchorage. Uh, I have a long list of friends and relatives that have had to contend with this kind of treatment in this state for many, many years. And that's why our primary employees here in the city of Fairbanks are actually, for Native people, are actually TCC and Doyon and the subsidiaries. One other item, I've mentioned before that there's a good write-up in Wikipedia about DEI. So I just grabbed a few items out of that long report to pass on to you folks. Diversity actually involves gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation, disability, age, culture, class, religion, and opinion. Equity is really fairness, justice, and a focus on social disparities. Inclusion is really a statement. Everyone feels their voices will be heard with a sense of belonging and integration. I thought it was a good idea to pass this all on to our council here as a matter of an opinion on my part. I'm worried about the present presidential administration and what that office in Washington, D.C. will do to our country and eventually float down to our level here in the Diversity Council and what we will have to contend with in the next 4 years. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Herb. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I just want Herb to know that I completely agree with your assessment of what is going to happen with this administration in the next 4 years. It's frightening to me. And I think that we will have many, many issues that our council will need to address. And I think we're going to need to be open-minded. And I think we're going to need to be objective, not subjective, in our opinions of what's about to happen for us. This is just, we're only 2 months in and we have no idea what's going to happen. So, Herb, thank you for taking this up and bringing this forward.
You're very welcome.
I'd like to add, Mike, on. Thank you, Herb, for your research, and thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you, Marcia, for your comments. Thank you, Marcia, for all of your comments at every meeting. We get some good reports and understandings over and over and over from all of the work that you do and the human circumstances that you observe and care about. That's one of the things that I appreciate for sure is the caring attitude about other persons.
Okay, did you have it? Okay, so now the next thing on our agenda is member comments. June, did you have any comments?
Probably what I just said.
Okay, there you go. Lonnie?
Just a good meeting, and I learned a couple of things tonight, so that's my goal.
There you go. Jake?
Just thank you, everybody.
Marcia?
Okay, so I have to tell you that last month at our meeting, I really struggled. And I considered actually resigning from this council. I believe, I mean, the reason I joined this council has to do everything with a marginalized community in our city, the involved, the domestic violence victims, the individuals of mixed race, our military, our African-American community, our Asian community, our South Pacific Islander community. I don't see color or race, I see humans. And I was very disturbed with the America 250 presentation, but I didn't say anything to the young lady. I said it to my council members. And some of the feedback I got was very disconcerting for me. I'm not going to not go. I'm not going to turn an eye. If you're going to have a celebration and have a baseball game, then you need to have an Indigenous game. That's just how I see it. And so I really did consider resigning from this council because I feel like our job is to see what's happening in high schools, see what's happening in all these communities and bring it forward. I talked to Juanita, I talked to Danny, and I decided not to resign from this committee. But I need this committee to be a safe place for me to vocalize the issues that I see and not feel like I'm being shamed. And I'm grateful that we talked about the high school tonight and we talked about DEI tonight. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Herb, for bringing those issues to the forefront. As a person of color, an Indigenous woman, a woman that has experienced so many things, intersectionality, I'm the poster child for intersectionality. That's why I'm here. I've testified for the Alaska Mental Health Trust this week. I've testified in front of the House Judiciary Commission this week. And both times that I've testified, it's been in relation to marginalized individuals, justice-involved individuals, people of color, and I will not stop bringing those topics up. And if that is too hard for people in this committee to understand, then you need to come to me, you need to go to Juanita, vote me out. But I will never stop standing up for the people that cannot stand up for themselves.
Thank you, Marcia. Karen?
Thank you, Marcia. I love your passion for those individuals who can't speak for themselves. And thank you, Herb, for what you brought to the table as well. I feel like this was a really, really good meeting. I love the way that we can put everything out on the table and, you know, discuss it. I feel safe. You know, I felt like this was a safe enough place for me to say, hey, this is what happened, you know, with what happened at the high school. I feel the same way as Marcia, you know, with me being a woman of color and just with everything that's going on. And a part of me feels like things are not going to get better anytime soon. I pray that they do, and I'm hopeful that they will, but, I mean, we just never know. It's just month two, and, I mean, all this has already happened, so it's like, okay, what next? But I do want to say that with the council members that we have in place and you all, I feel safe. So that's a plus for me. And I'll continue to do the work that I do to help those that are disadvantaged, and just continue to work with the council on making Fairbanks a better place. So I hope that that's something that, you know, we all really have in our heart to do. And that's all.
Thank you, Karen Herb.
Oh, okay. Right away, I want to brag about this. I'm a member, past member of the Indian Movement Days in 1969, 70 to 74. And a veteran of the occupation of Alcatraz and Fort Lawton in Seattle, which turned into the Daybreak Star Center that we have there, the Fish and Rights Struggle in Washington State, and creation of an Indian Chicana University outside of UC Davis called DQU, Degana Huitzilopochtli University, and ended up at Wounded Knee. And one of my good buddies at the time was Leonard Peltier. And he was wrongly imprisoned. There's a well-written book by Peter Matheson, the late Peter Matheson, called In the Spirit of Crazy Horse that details everything that happened in the wrongful conviction of Leonard Peltier. Well, anyway, Leonard Peltier has been in prison almost 50 years. And this is what happened here. I wanted to pass on to you. It's a wonderful story. President Biden agreed to come to Phoenix, Arizona last year to apologize to we Native American people for the treatment that we received in these institutions that existed for a couple hundred years. I'm a veteran of one of those up here, a 10-year confinement, you might say, to Jesse Holman Seward. All right. Anyway, he came to Phoenix and publicly, in a press conference, apologized for that kind of treatment. But what happened was that on the way over from Washington, D.C., the president of National Congress of American Indians was invited to fly over in Air Force One with him. And so he, President Biden received an update on Leonard Peltier. President Biden had never heard of Leonard Peltier, but it gave the president of NCAI gave him a full rundown on the kangaroo court and this false imprisonment that has lasted for almost 50 years. So within minutes of the end of his administration, President Biden signed a commutation freeing Leonard Peltier a week from today to home confinement for the rest of his life. And his tribe and reservation in North Dakota, the Turtle Mountain Res, are anxiously waiting for him, and there's a home for him, he will be able to get really good medical care then and spend the rest of his life at home. What's that?
I said, Latunkashila, thank you, God.
Oh, yes. Okay, item two. I thought about this for the past month, and I had to bring it up. I didn't say anything the last meeting, but there was a commentary there at the last meeting of given a positive review of Mayor Mather's chairmanship of the Diversity Council. And it was
Mather's treatment of me at the meetings that caused me and another member to immediately resign that night. And I was bonded, determined not to return until Mather was out of office and we had a new mayor. And that's why I brought up Mayor Pruse. In this meeting to as a suggestion for him to attend with us and allow us to get to know him and see what's going on in the mayor's office. So I wanted to let you all know that that's why I left the council in the first place was because of Mather. Right. Item three, the final item is in Wikipedia on the long write-up on DEI, it was pretty well explained that in the military, DEI is a bad subject and has been dealt with accordingly for all these many, many, many years. Fairbanks is a GI town, the big Army base next to us, the Air Force base not too far from us, and we're experiencing an influx of personnel and people that from all walks of life, and a share of that walk of life is a sincere disregard for DEI and especially the diversity for part of it. So I think it's up to us in the council to be aware of that really and remain focused on and alert of what's going on in our community here with the military. I'm a past veteran myself and so I just wanted to pass that on. And so that's all.
Thank you very much. Danny?
Did you have anything?
No.
Okay, thank you. I just don't usually get called on because I'm not a member, but thank you.
You count. So does Lonnie. So I think what I'd like to say, I think my...
What about Jim? You didn't ask for Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the very first one, and she said what she had just stated was what she was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So...
I can add to that, though, now that we've had more discussion.
Go ahead, June.
No, I appreciate... the discussion fully, and again, both Herb and Marcia, both of you bring very impassioned understandings to the words that you bring to us, and I think it's really, really important for us to be aware, always aware, and be concerned, to be considerate, to be loving, to be caring for each other in our community. And it's always difficult, I think, for anybody to talk about a stretch of experiences in their life that goes back generations without receiving some sort of understanding and empathy from others. And the issues that we're discussing are difficult. However, we all know how necessary they are. We can't shy away from something because it's difficult. And one day at a time. It's, for those of us who have been working on some of these issues for many, 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 many decades, that's my energy, is not to ever give up and to do one day at a time. Going forward with concern and caring, love, support for each other.
So
I just wanted to add one more thing, and I'm not describing a certain quote grouping of persons, because that's, I think, also a pathway that's difficult to navigate. Also, I'm talking about all.
Are you good?
Okay. I have a question. Are we going to have a table at the Festival of Native Arts? February 28th.
Do you want to have a table?
February 27th through March 1st. I just wondered if we're going to have a table.
It has not been brought up. Would we like to have a table?
I think it's imperative, but that's me.
I think we should have a table.
Okay, so
I think it's a good idea. However, I have to let you know that I will not be available to help with anything like that.
Okay.
I'll be out of town.
Let me give them a call, see what needs to be done for that to happen, and then I'll send through Danny a schedule so that we can fill it out.
That would be great, and I appreciate, June, you can't be there. I can be there. And so, yeah.
Okay. I will do
that. I can be there one night.
Okay, I will do that tomorrow as far as finding out more information about that. I am very excited about this meeting that we had today, because I think this is the true, as much as I would love for the world to be all roses, it's not. There are difficulties that happen in everyday life, but I think that some of the things that we're discussing and dealing with now are the meat and potatoes of who and what we should be. And so for reaching that target, I guess, or however you want to put it, as sad as it is to say, I think we're coming into ourselves, I guess is what I'm trying to say, between the activities that we're doing and that we're discussing these hard topics. Marcia, thank you again for bringing that forward. I appreciate that. And Karen, thank you for the report. And Lonnie, thank you for the reaching out tomorrow or whenever you get an opportunity. So unless there's any other comments, our next meeting date is going to be March 11th. Is there anyone that needs to be excused from that date?
No, but I would kind of like to have a moment of silence for the officer that passed at such a young age at the beginning of the month. And, you know, he was he really looked beyond color and race. And so I'd just like to have a moment of silence for him.
So if I may ask one quick question before we do that, where was this at? Apparently I did not hear about this.
Here in Fairbanks, his name is Officer Lewis. He's only 49 years old, and he passed away on February 1st. So I just think it would be nice to have a moment of silence for him.
Okay. So thank you guys for what you do and what you have in your hearts. And we'll call adjournment at 6:50. Thank you all very much.